And I wanted to sort of stay on that line, except I wanted to if y'all don't mind, now I'm going to start. Anybody know where I was? Well, I wanted to sort of stay on that line. That's where I was, on that line. And, you know, it's great to be saved, isn't it? And I gave us the benefits of salvation. And I gave us the woe of not having it, right? But, you know, it's one thing to say it's great to have, and it's another thing to say it's a woe if you don't have it. But if that's where it ended, nobody would have it. There has to be a conduit. Now, for some of y'all, a conduit is it's not just a pipe, it's a source of transferring something from one place to another, so that that place wherein it transfers to will get the benefit of what's transferred. How you like that? That a good definition? I want to talk to you for the next couple of weeks on the conduit, the gospel. The gospel. Now, if you're saved today, and I say that rhetorically, assuming that you are. I don't know. You don't know about me. I may not even be saved. Well, yes, I am. But if you are saved today, you are saved because something moved from one place to you and benefited you. And that would be, thank you. Boy, I tell you what, this class is slow. Huh? You're going to find out this class. I'm glad you're in here because you'll speed things up. If you hadn't heard the gospel, you couldn't possibly be saved. I was watching Fox this morning as I was making my coffee. And I guess the Lord sends this stuff to me. I don't know, but it seems like every Sunday morning I get something on Fox I can use. Sometimes in a positive way, sometimes in a negative way. And I didn't know how to take this one. They had these two people on there who had written a book lately or recently, and it was just coming out on a new look at reading the Bible in this age. And they were talking about this one woman who was on there, who was interviewing them. She says, well, I've always had some doubts, and therefore I don't read the Bible because of my doubts. But I'm a person of faith, but I just have some doubts. And they said, well, it's okay to have doubts. And I said, yeah, it is okay. You can have them. Because if all you do is read the Bible, you can have all the doubts you want. Because all you're doing is reading the Bible. Even Jesus said, you search the Scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. In other words, by knowing the Bible, by knowing Scriptures, they even had a little box that they wore on their head, literally, with Scripture in it. And they thought, oh, that'll get into my mind. No, that'll be something silly looking on the front of your head. That won't get into your mind. It doesn't morph into your mind. There's one way that the Scriptures get into you. Thank you. The Holy Spirit. I heard what you said, but you were a little off. Therefore, I did not take your answer. You have to be precise on certain things. The Holy Spirit is what will allow you to read Scripture and understand Scripture. Why? Well, that's true. That's true. I'll give you credit for a true statement.
The Word and the Spirit agree.
What?
The Word and the Spirit.
You know that's a true statement too. But that's not what I'm looking for. Why?
The Holy Spirit is the Comforter.
That's a true statement. That's in the Bible. But that's not what I'm looking for. What? That's a true statement. But that's not what I'm looking for. Hey, that's a true statement, but that's not what I'm looking for.
Is it the Holy Spirit is the conductor?
That's a true statement, but that's not what I'm looking for. Well, let me ask you this. Let me simplify it for you. Let's say that you wrote a book. Now, would I go to you to get understanding of the book you wrote? Or would I go to someone who read the book that you wrote? Who would be better to go to get the understanding? Well, the one that wrote the book, right? Listen, the reason that you understand Scripture, if the Holy Spirit is inside you, is because He wrote it. Now, all these things are true, and they're in the Scriptures. But you will understand Scriptures because the Holy Spirit indwells you in salvation, and because the Holy Spirit is the author of every single, not word, every single letter in it. Now, do you know how I know that? Who said that? I've got to go back. Pardon me. I'll be right back. Now, you have to talk up because Susie, she can't hear. She wears three hearing aids. Why? Where is that found?
All through the Bible.
That's right.
No, that's don't give me no that's right over there.
What did you say, Sam?
I said it's all through the Bible.
No, that we can't have that.
It's in the Bible.
No, she said it's in the Bible, and I want to know where. See, it's not just enough for you to say it's in the Bible, because what if somebody says where? I'd like to read that. Right? You can't say like Becky, well, it's all through it. Oh, so I've got to read the whole Bible to get this one question answered. How do you know that He's not just the author of every word, but of every letter? Huh?
John 1:1.
You know that's a true statement. Brother, you quoted that good too. He's the word, right? But I'm talking about letters. See, letters make up the word, right?
Yes.
I want to know how He's the author of every letter in there that forms the words. Does Revelation say this? I am the Alpha and Omega. Now, the Alpha and the Omega, the Alpha and the Omega is letters. He doesn't say I'm the Word. He says I'm every letter from beginning to end. There's not a If that way, if there's an A in there, what we call an article, an A, He's the A. If there's an R in there, He's the R. If there's an M in there, where He says, I am, well, that forms A-M. He's A to Z. He's every one of them. That's why He says this. He says, not one jot, nor one tittle, not one dotted I, not one crossed T will fail or pass away until all be fulfilled. Not every word, every letter. Everything that is between the first page and the last page, every letter. You know, people talk about there's 66 books in the Bible. Well, that's true. And there's a lot of words in those 66 books, right? I can't imagine how many letters there are in that book. He's every one of them. That's why we can go to him. That's why that when Jesus first started in Matthew chapter 4, it says, and Jesus went about all Jericho, Jerusalem, Galilee, all that area. He went about preaching the gospel, the good news. Now remember in Romans chapter 1 what the good news is? What the gospel is, you remember that? It defines it for you. It spells it out for you. It says, the gospel is that which is concerning his son. There's no good news without Jesus, right? Absolutely none. None. But he says he went about preaching the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, why would he say gospel of the kingdom? Why is that what he preached? Well, you don't care if I talk to you, do you? They won't talk to me, honey. They just won't talk to me. I tried to give them to. The king forms the kingdom, right? If you didn't have a king, you couldn't possibly have a kingdom, right? I mean, that'd be sort of stupid to say, I got a kingdom, but I don't have a king. Well, then don't call it a kingdom. Call it a dumb, because that's what you are, dumb. You're dumb without a king if you don't, right? So he says he went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom because he's the king. He's going to tell you all about his kingdom. Now, the next part says, of that verse, it says he went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And you know what else he did? Healing. You're reading it, aren't you, brother? I see you out there. I see you reading it. You're checking me out. I see it. Boy, I tell you what, this is fact check. Fact check. Well, you fact check me all you want to. He says, and healing, healing all diseases. Now, why would he say those two together? Why would he say he went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of diseases? Well, you want to elaborate on that? Never mind, honey. You're trying to elaborate, and yeah, I ain't got time for you to elaborate. The gospel. What does that word mean?
Good word.
Huh? Good news. Good news. Now, so let's break this down. Now we get this. See, this is how you read scripture, and this is how you study scripture, and this is how you get blessed by scripture. You just don't read it. Look, you can read it till you're blue in the face, but if the Holy Spirit's not in there pointing this stuff out to you, you're just reading it till you're blue in the face, and you're just going to be blue in your face, right? He's the good news of the kingdom. So there must be some good news of the kingdom, right? Now, are we in the kingdom? No, well, the physical is, listen, if we're not in it physically, we're not in it, right? So, the reason he attaches the latter part to the front part is, the good news about the kingdom is this, there'll be no diseases. There'll be no death. No more tears. We'll see just fine, won't we, honey? We won't wear yellow tinted glasses anymore. We'll see just fine. We'll hear just fine, won't we? What'd you say? No, she hears fine. I'm just playing. I love Susan. But there won't be any hard of hearing. There won't be any lame walking around. Listen, if that's not good news to you, God help you. That's good news, folks. But see, that's in his kingdom. Now, that's in his kingdom, right? That's how his kingdom's going to be. That's why it's good news, right? So why is he preaching the gospel of the kingdom? Why don't he just give us the kingdom? Oh, listen, there's got to be a change made. You just don't walk into his kingdom. Now listen, don't get me, please, I'm just making a point. I beg you, don't take this the wrong way. But listen, it's sort of like this immigration thing. We got people that want open borders. You know, just walk in. Now I'm going to tell you this, and God knows my heart, I'm speaking the truth right now. I want everyone that can come here and make a better life for them and their family and their children, I want them here. Because this is a great place of opportunity. All I say is we got to have some order in doing it, and you got to know who's here. You can't just come willy-nilly.
Right.
Come legally, come right, and come all. That's what I say. Mm-hmm. But they want open borders. Well, see, God don't have open borders. That's why he's got a wall around the city. I knew I'd get to that. Listen, Revelation says there's a wall around the city. And he says nothing that is abominable will come in. There's no sin there. There's no sinners there. There's nothing that works abomination there. He keeps them out. Because, hey, if we're going to have the same place we got here, is it good news? My goodness. Listen, if evil's going to be there, it's just like here. Well, I got news for you. Evil's not going to be there. You say, Tom, I thought you was going to talk about the gospel. I'm trying to tell you about the gospel. Listen, good news is that there is a kingdom. There's a king. And boy, there's benefits inside that kingdom that you can't imagine. But you just can't go on your own. There's one way in, and only one way in. And boy, if you go that way, there is benefits. Benefits like you can't imagine in the kingdom. If you read Matthew 8, 9, and 10, it's an amazing thing. He shows not only the preaching of the kingdom, he shows the power of the kingdom. Now look, I've used this illustration. I'll use it again. Do you realize that we are going in this direction at one speed? We are. Now, you're sitting there right now. I mean, you don't realize it, but you're on a merry-go-round going 1,000 miles per second. Whew, that's fast. That's 1 second. You went 1,000 miles. And you're going 1,000 miles an hour in this direction. This earth is going so precisely. You can fact check me on this. It's not, you can check it all. Check me in the Bible and check me on Google. I don't care. But do you know that it is so precise? It is 9:28. Or 10:28. If you could look at your watch right, you'd know what time it is. It is 10:28. You can set your watch by it because it never changes. Because the Bible says, the good news says, the Word of God says that not only did he create everything that you see, he sustains it by his
word.
Now you're back to John 1:1, aren't you, son? You see, it's not only a book, it's a powerful book. It's a life-changing book. It won't just change your life here. It'll change your life for eternity. I was coming back from Atlanta yesterday, and as I do, I was listening to Enlighten on my Sirius radio, you know, because I like gospel music. That's the only kind of music I like. The only kind of music I want around me. Gospel music. Good news music. I don't want no bad news music. You know, half this other music, you can't understand what they say, and there might be some bad news in there, and I don't want it. I want good news. So I was listening, and they were interviewing this guy. He was a gospel singer, and he was getting ready to be inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. Didn't know they had one, but evidently they do. And if you're good, they put you in there. And they said, Byron, can't remember his last name, first name Byron. You can Google him. If you can find, there'd be a lot of Byrons out there, though. He said, Byron, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want people to know about you? He says, well, he says, what I'd like for people to know about me is what they don't know about me. I'd like to be remembered as a man they can't remember. He said, let me explain that to you. He says, let's say that you're talking to someone and they say this. You know, I heard this gospel group sing, and I heard this specific singer singing. I can't remember their name. I can't remember who they... How did I get on this thing? I can't remember who they are. But while they were singing, the Lord spoke to my heart. The Lord touched my heart, and I got saved. But I can't remember their name. I thought that was pretty good. You know, I don't want people to entertain me. And if this is the singers, I hope they're listening. I don't want people to entertain me. I want people, bless God, that come to sing for the glory of God so that they can touch the life of not only saints but sinners. And the only thing that will touch the life of a saint or a sinner is the gospel of God. And if you're not singing the gospel, I ain't wanting to hear it. Amen. I can spot them a mile away. Those that know what they're singing about and those that are just making a career out of it. You say, Tom, that's being critical. No, that's not being critical. Listen, I believe that singing the gospel is the same calling that a preacher gets. God calls you because and he gives you the talent to play an instrument or to sing vocally or to do both. But he gives you that talent and he says, now listen, I want you to take this talent and I want you to bless others with the gospel. Now I like that. And boy, you can tell. You can tell when they're singing. For example, the McCamies. Hey, if you don't like McCamies, that's okay. But listen. If you don't think that woman knows the Lord, you are sadly mistaken. I guarantee she knows the Lord. I like people that do. You say, Tom, what's that got to do with anything? It's got to do with everything because you're singing about the good news of God. The good news that will change your life. That will encourage you. That will lift you up. And if you get encouraged and if you get lifted up, you know who's going to get lifted up more? God is. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all. Now, does anyone know what is in Acts chapter 9? I want someone to just tell me in generality what's in Acts chapter 9. Don't you dare look at your Bible. Don't look at it on your phone either. Well, I'm going to tell you what it's about, and then y'all try to remember it next time. It's about a man on his way to arrest them that were in the way when he met the way and straightway went to preach to them who were not in the way how they could get into the way. That's what it's about. It's about a man who was changed. And after he got saved, he says in his own testimony, now you can read it, He says in his own testimony that he didn't go back up to Jerusalem to be taught of the religious leaders. He said, God took me into the wilderness to teach me. And do you know what he preached the first time he preached? You say, Tom, I don't have a clue. I thought you'd never ask. Look, if you will, at Acts. Look, if you will, in Acts. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Oh, who did this to me? Brennan, I could choke you. Acts chapter 13. Now, Paul here is gone to a place. He says, now when Paul, 13, verse 13 and 13. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came unto Antioch in Pisidia. Do you know why that the Holy Spirit puts all these names we can't pronounce in here? Hey, it's not made up stuff, folks. These are actual places. And he's laying it out for you. This is what happened. So he says, and after, and they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. I read that and I thought, well, I believe that's a message alert. Now, y'all know what a message alert is, don't you? That's where you get these alerts on your phone, you know, like an Amber Alert or a weather alert. Well, I have message alerts that I give to my two preacher brethren. Brothers. They're not only brethren, they're brothers. So I'll call my pastor, whom I will not name, and I'll say, message alert. He'll say, okay, Tommy. I told him, I said, here's the title to the message. Have you got any pick-me-uppers? Now look, we all need picking up at some time, don't we? You know why you need picking up, Doris?
Because you're down.
Because you're down. I'm going to tell you something. If a person's lost, more than anything in their life, they need to get picked up.
Yeah.
They need encouragement. They got no future. Look, people commit suicide, folks, because they don't see a way out and they see no future. That's I don't want to get in the mind of anyone, and that's sad to me. It saddens me. I don't know what that's like. I've never had that. I've never experienced that. I've had some bad things happen to me, but I've never experienced that. But a person that's lost needs picking up. You know how I know that? Oh, nobody's going to answer now because they're going to say, well, he's going to want me to tell him where. It's in the Bible, isn't it, Doris? Don't say. But no, yes, but I don't know where. You remember the story of the Samaritan? A man fell among thieves, it says, and they beat him and robbed him and left him in a ditch. Now, three people came along. Two of them represented religion. And you know what religion did for that man? Well, they not only didn't do anything. He's on this side. They're walking on this side. If you read it, they're walking. You know what they did? Well, if I get over here, I can't see him. They couldn't help that man. They didn't see that man. I'm going to tell you something. You can't help somebody if you don't see them. Amen. You know, we can't walk around like we're better than everybody else, folks, and help them. There's people that need picking up. And we got to be willing to be like that third one. We got to be like the Samaritan. There's my singer, I guarantee you. We got to be like that third one. He didn't just go over and say, "How can I help you?" Or, "I hope somebody comes along that can help you." Or, "God bless you, brother. I hope things get better for you." No, he picked him up. He dressed him up. He took him up to the inn. And he said, "Now, brother, my words, take care of him. And if you spend any money on him, when I come back," oh, glory, if you didn't pick that up, I can't help you. You know what the Lord told us to do? He said, "Listen, when you see them in the ditch, bless God, go over and pick them up and take them up, help them up, get them well, and when I come back, I'll pay you." Well, glory, don't you like that? I like being paid. I'll tell you what, the one thing that I hated, brother, and you may know about this, I don't know. The one thing, now see, if you're my class, I'm pointing at you, I don't care. Because I'm not getting paid to do this, so I don't care who I hurt. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. But, you know, I used to work for a living. And you know the one thing that motivated me the most, Sandy? Huh? Well, it wasn't just the money. I'm going to come over here and talk to Sandy a little bit. The one thing that motivated me was when that check would come in the mail. I love going to my P.O. box because I knew what days I got my check.
That's right.
Boy, I'd see that check and I'd say, "Ooh, man, I got to get to work. I got to get back to work because pretty soon it'll be payday time again. I got to have me another one coming." I loved getting paid. You know what I hated? When they went to automatic deposit. Oh, I fought that. I fought the law and the law won. I didn't want to do that because that was my motivation. I wanted to see my check, feel my check, cash my check. Oh, it motivated me. But when they went to that automatic deposit, I never saw it. My wife only saw it. She had to motivate me. Now listen, when your wife has to motivate you, that's bad. Because they will put you out of that house and on the road. Listen, you get out of here and go to work, I got to have more checks coming in. I don't ever see them. You don't have to see them. I do. I hated that. But you know what? When the Lord comes back, it won't be an automatic deposit. He says, "Behold." What do you think about this? That's what it means. Hello, Johnny. Fill out a visitor's card. He says, "Behold, I come and my reward's with me." You know what that means, don't you, honey? That means don't.
Check's coming.
Hey, get out there and work for him. It may look like you're working for free sometimes, mightn't it, honey? It may look like that this ain't going over too good. I've wanted to quit, folks. I don't care to tell you. I've really thought about quitting.
Yeah.
I thought, well, there ain't nobody listening. What difference does it make? I'll go over here and talk to him. Ain't nobody else will talk to me.
I'm scared of it.
Have you ever wanted to quit, brother?
Absolutely.
Have you ever wanted to lay it down? And think, well, why am I doing this? Ain't nobody listening. Nobody cares anymore. You know what motivates me, honey, to get over that? I'll talk to her. She won't care. He's coming. He's coming. And with him's coming them rewards. I don't know what they look like. But oh, glory. It's going to be good. Behold, every good and every perfect gift. It won't just be a good payment. It'll be a perfect payment. Oh, glory. It's going to be worth it all. He says, listen, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God hath in store for them that love him. Oh, praise God, I'll tell you what, it's going to be worth it all. You know what happens when I do that? I shout a little, bless God, and I get up and get that book out and start studying some more. You know why? Because it's all in your son. When you're down, get the pick-me-upper. You remember what it said, don't you? You've already forgot what it said. But it says, and when they had read the scriptures, they said, brother, if you've got any encouragement for us, say on. Well, that's what I try to do all week long. I try to get them pick-me-uppers. Oh, gosh, I got to quit. I'm done. I'll see you next week.